Parshas Yisro, we want to look at a maimar in the Sefer Hema Yenachamuni of the Tolna Rebbe. The beginning of our parsha, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midjan Chosein Moshe Eskol Asher Osa Elohim LeMoshe LeYisrael Amo Ki Hotzi Hashem Es Yisrael MiMitzrayim. Clearly, the pasuk indicates that Yisro heard about the great salvation, the redemption of Israel from Mitzrayim. Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. It's explicit. And yet, despite that, Rashi asks the question, Mashmua Shomo Ba, what did he hear? What brought him to Klal Yisrael? Kriyas Yamsuf u'Melchemes Amalek. So what's Rashi's question, Mashmua Shomo Ba, when it's explicit in the Pasuk, Es Kol Asher Asa L'Kim L'Moshe Yisrael, Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael miMitzrayim. It's pretty black and white. Furthermore, it's interesting that Rashi says that he heard two things. Kriyas Yamsuf, u'Melchemes Amalek. Now, this doesn't really seem to reflect what it says in the Pasuk, because the Pasuk emphasizes Yitzias Mitzrayim, Ki hotzi Hashem es Yisrael miMitzrayim. These two episodes, these two events of Kriyas Yamsu and Melchemes Amalek took place later on, after Yitzias Mitzrayim, subsequent to the actual exodus from Egypt. And the pasuk seems to be indicative of the fact that it was the Yitzia itself, that's what brought Yisro to join the people, not the miracles that took place afterwards. Additionally, the Yisro is not so nispoiled, he's not so amazed by the fact that the Jewish people won the battle against Amalek. It doesn't say in the Lashon Chazal that he heard about the Nitzachon of Bnei Yisrael Amalek, which was of course miraculous and supernatural, but rather he heard about Milchemes Amalek, the battle against Amalek. There was a war, the Jewish people had to fight a war. That's not a good thing. In any event, let's just summarize our three questions. Number one, what's bothering Rashi, Mashmu Shomu Ba? Of course, the Pasuk says that he heard about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Secondly, the answers of Kriyas Yamsuf, Melchemes Amalek, don't seem to be reflective or appropriate for the Pshuto Shel Mikra, which seems to indicate that he heard about the Yitzias itself, not miracles that took place subsequently. And thirdly, what's the emphasis on Milchemes Amalek? It should have said Nitzachon Shel Am Yisrael Al Amalek. We look in the Medrash on the opening pasuk, Vayishma Yisro, Hadov Dichsiv. The Medrash quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Reacha V'Rea Avicha Al Tazov. Reacha Zakodesh Baruch Hu. Kidichsiv Leman Achai V'Reayai. And therefore, Re'acha is a reference, an allusion to HaKadosh Baruch. V'Re'a Avicha Ze'a Avram. Shenemar Zera Avram O'Avi Al Ta'azov. So when the Pasuk says in Mishlei Al Ta'azov, it's a reference to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu is called Re'a Avicha. And when it says in the Medrash the language of Hadohu Dechsiv, it would seem to indicate a connection between one pasuk and another pasuk. The pasuk Vayishma Yisro, the opening pasuk of this medrash, is the pasuk that the medrash seems to be connecting to the pasuk in Mishlei Reacha V'Rea Vichal Tazov, because Hado Dechsiv means in connection to or relevant to Vayishma Yisro. We have Reacha V'Rea Vichal Tazov. What's the connection? How is our opening pasuk in Parshas Yisro connected to the pasuk in Mishlei? Now, Chazal indicate in many midrashim that Yisro was a philosopher. He was a choker. He studied the various religions he investigated them in a very philosophical, speculative way. He was a great malumad. He was really very knowledgeable. Up on all the knowledge and the philosophy and the religions of his time. And he checked out and investigated all the different religions, tried them, until on his own He came to recognize that Hashem Hu Elokim, God is the true God. He accepted upon himself HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we also know that after Yisro came to visit Moshe, Moshe requests of Yisro that he continue and he accompany the people of Israel from place to place. Yisro refuses and chooses to return to his country. And Chazal ask the question that Rashi quotes here at the beginning of that parasha, Mashmu Sham Uba. The emphasis is on the word Uba, meaning, why did Yisro believe that he would have to leave his place, his homeland, and after being Okir Mimkomo, he should go out and meet Moshe and the people of Israel? If he already came on his own to a recognition of the creator of the world, then since we see clearly that he didn't want to accompany the people of Israel, he didn't want to be with them together, he never considered the possibility of remaining with them, so then why did he want to come and meet Moshe? Did he have some sort of a question on his mind that he had to clarify? The Gemara says, Shamal Kriyas Yamsuf U'Milcheves Amolek. Now, Al Pidrush, we could suggest the following. Let's take a look at Kriyas Yamsuf and compare it to Milchemes Amalek, which is immediately in its aftermath. At Kriyas Yamsuf, there was a tremendous elevation, a spiritual ascension on the part of Klal Yisrael to ascend to a very, very high ruchniistic level. Ras Hashivcha Layam, Mashalo Ra, Yecheskel Ben Buzi, Bemaris HaNevuah, the Mechilta says that even a maidservant reached the level where her nevuah, her prophecy, it was even greater. It superseded that of Yechezkel ben Buzi. Everyone was able to point with his finger and says, Zeh keli v'anveyu. And we discussed this earlier this week. This is the highest level in comprehending HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Hasog Elokis. And yet, immediately afterwards, there's a tremendous fall on a spiritual level. An afila gedola. The pasuk says, Vayavo Amalek. And how is it possible that Amalek could come and attack the Jewish nation? It must be that Klal Yisrael somehow left and went down. They descended from their high madrega, their spiritual level. And the pasuk says, Vayilochem im Yisrael birafidim. Chazal, Rashi quotes it, say, Sherafu Yideim shall Yisrael min HaTorah. And therefore, Vayavo Amalek. Now this is very strange. Klal Yisrael were not successful in remaining on that high level that they had just achieved not long ago at Kriyas Yamsuf. And this is something that Yisro needed to understand. After all the efforts, the great investment of philosophical inquiry, and finally he comes to believe in God. And here, he hears about Kriyas Yamsuf. He understands that Klal Yisrael reached this very, very high madrega. How could it be then that after achieving that goal of that high, high, lofty level, what would have caused them to fall, to go from that very, very high place to a very low place, down to the Bira Mikta? Why? This is what Yisrael felt he had to reveal. He had to get an answer to this question. He had to meet with Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, when he hears about these two things, that's what brings him to be Okir Mimkomo, to leave his place and come to greet Moshe Rabbeinu, to meet with Moshe. There's Kriyas Yamsuf, the great Aliyah, and then there's Milchemes Amalek, the great Nefila, Sherafu Yideim. That's why Chazal emphasized Milchemes Amalek, not the successful battle against Amalek, which was miraculous, but why the battle Bechlal against Amalek? What brought God apparently to decide that the people of Israel be vulnerable and exposed to attack from Amalek? It must be the Nephilah, that they fell from that high, lofty level. And this battle itself, which came and was possible in the aftermath of a Rifyon, a going down as we said before, of Klal Yisrael and Torah, this is what brought Yisrael to come to the people of Israel and specifically to meet with Moshe. Yisrael is the great philosopher. He's the great investigator. He's a speculative thinker. He came and arrived at a great knowledge, a great wisdom, and recognized God. A great understanding that there's a bira, there's a, in the mashal of Chazal, there's a structure, but there's also the bala bira, there's a manik, there's a leader. Yisro understood that after he reached this level of recognition, he now could perhaps sit back and rely on his great knowledge, his great wisdom, which came as a result of a great deal of effort. Now he conquered reached his destination. He's like the mountain climber who reaches the pinnacle of the mountain. After a tremendous amount of work and toil, aspiring to reach the summit of a great high mountain, after all the hitamtsut, all the tremendous amount of work, which is a result of training and expertise, hard work until he successfully reaches his goal. And now he climbs up the mountain, he reaches the summit, he's happy with what his achievements are. There's nothing beyond that. For example, a person studies a discipline. He invests a tremendous amount of effort, of time, and finally he achieves his goal. He gets cap and gown, he gets his diploma. He puts it up on his wall. Yisro realizes that even though, despite the fact that he had achieved this great understanding of divinity, nevertheless, there's no security here. Nothing can guarantee that he will stay and remain at that level. A person could reach the summit. The people of Israel could achieve Zeh Keli V'Anveihu. They're on the level of prophets. They can point to Hashem with a finger. This level, and yet, despite that fact, they can fall very, very low. Because when it comes to spirituality, there's no point in time where a person achieves and conquers the highest summit. He reaches his goal and achieves his aspirations. And he can say, here I am, I dig in my boots very deep, I'm solid, I'm on a solid foundation. No. There's no guarantee, there's no security. There's no absolute remaining on that lofty level. In spirituality, a person must always, constantly, continuously rise, climb, aspire to go higher and higher until the end of his life. If he stops at some point and takes a break, then he falls. And this great insight into the nature of avod and the nature of spirituality is expressed by the Mishnah in the second parak of Pirkei Avos, Al tamin bi'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Don't believe in yourself until the day of your death. We can begin to understand the Medrash. The Medrash quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, Re'acha v're'a avicha al ta'azov. Re'acha is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he is the good friend of Avram Avinu. Re'a avicha. Avram Avinu was the first to reveal the one God. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Avram Avinu because Avram is the first to reveal Hashem, to spread the belief in God in the world. But then the pasuk says, Al Tazov. This indicates what we were talking about before. There's no possibility of reaching a knowledge, an acknowledgement and a hakar of Hashem, and say, well, I achieved that level, that very high level. Al Tazov. Al Tazov means you have no right to loosen your grip. To take a step back, you have to move forward in dveikus. You have to do whatever is necessary in ruchnius to continue. Al tamim biyaschad yom moscha. If you stop, if you let go, you're going to fall. and all the achievements that you've been massing, all that you've, the high, lofty achievements that you achieved, will go down, will be lost. And therefore, take a look at Kriyat Shema. We are commanded to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim on a daily basis. Not only once a day, but twice a day. Erev and Boker. B'shobucha uvkumecha. Every day in our lives until the day we die. Take the example of a person who receives citizenship. He's granted citizenship. And he takes a pledge to be loyal to the country on that very day that he receives his status as a citizen. After that, he's a citizen like any other citizen in the country. He doesn't have to come back and declare his dedication and his commitment to the country. Once is enough. All you have is one declaration for the entire lifetime. But in the case of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in contrast, the mandate is that we have to accept and declare our loyalty, our dedication to Hashem, and express and pronounce that commitment on a daily basis, not only once a day, but twice a day. This is our principle that we're trying to clarify and emphasize today. A person doesn't reach the age of bar mitzvah and declare Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, accept the heavenly, the yoke of heaven. And that should be enough for the rest of his life. No, on a daily basis, 365 days a year, twice a day, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim of the morning is not enough for the following night. And the night is not enough to cover him for the day. You know, in the Sefer Igle Tal, he has a great introduction, the Sukkot Shavu Rebbe. And he quotes his father on a Mishnah at the beginning of Shas that we're all familiar with, Me'emasai Kornish Mabi Arvis. And the answer of the Mishnah is, Mishosh HaKonim Nichnosim Lechol B'Trumosam. Now, in truth, Me'emasai Kornish Mabi Arvis, the answer is, Tseisakol Chavim. And that's common to both Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis and the Kohanim coming in to eat their Truma. Both Kriyat Shema and Achilas Truma for a Kohen who was Metayer himself required Tseisakol Chavim. But what's the deeper connection here between the two? And the answer is a person became Tomei. Now he's continued the process of purification. Now he's Tahar. That's the case of a Tful Yom. He cannot eat Truma until what's called Harif Shemesh. When the day ends and there's Tseisa Kochavim, now halachically a new time period, a new day as a unit begins. Oh, now, yesterday he was Tomei, yesterday he was Nitlash, but yesterday is gone. Now it's a brand new day. Now it's a day in which he can become mukhshar, he can become, it could be appropriate, he's ready, he's pure to eat the truma. Every day is a new day. Yesterday, tuma, today, tara. We can begin to understand the connection to Kriyat Shema. Why does a person have to read Kriyat Shema? Yesterday he read Kriyat Shema. But tonight, we begin a new day, a new time unit. Halachically, hayom holech achar alayla. And therefore, once again, he has to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, accept upon himself God. It's not enough that he did so yesterday. The morning Kriyat Shema is good enough for that unit of time, which ends at night. With night begins a new unit of time. And once again, he has to go back to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Yesterday was different, today is different. This mitzvah itself teaches us the direction and the underlying principle of Al Tamin Biatzmacha. A person cannot rely on himself, on his past. He cannot say, well, yesterday I was Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, that's enough, stop. No, there's got to be a constant Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, day after day, without letting go. No let up. In Birkas HaShachar, every morning, we feel a Hischadshus, we're new. We open up our eyes, we dress in our clothes, we say Pokeach Ivrim, Al Basharumim, Matir Asurim, etc., etc. Every morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us anew the parts of our body, our Eivarim, you know, the eyes and the legs and all the other senses, all the clothing that we wear, all the energy that we have to live. And then we recite Shalom Asani Goy. That's already a different kind of thanks to Hashem. You know, that bracha logically could have been once at the beginning of our, you know, a person that is bris, that's bar mitzvah, you know, Shalom Asani Goy, that's true for the rest of his life. The fact that he's not a goy doesn't change with one day and the next day. Every day he has to declare Shalom Asani Goy. Isn't it just the reality that from the day he's born to a Jewish mother, he's Jewish? Why did Chazal establish that on a daily basis, Shalom Asani Nochri? Why? Why on a daily basis? Every bracha that we recite daily is because of this new hiskadshus, the feeling that God today gave me new energies. But why Shalom Asani Goy? And the Magen Avraham quotes, this is a bit rare, but in Or Chaim Memvav, the siman that's dedicated to the brachos, the Arizal. The Ari says that when a person goes to sleep at night, then there's the possibility that a Jew might somehow be attached, so to speak, to a goyish neshama. He's nitpas in a chelik nishmaso shel goy. And he has to recite the Brocha Shaloh Asani Goy, that thank God Hashem spared me and no Goyishkeit entered into and penetrated into my soul. I'm still a pure Jew. That's how the Arizal understands it. And it's all based on Kabbalah, things that go beyond our comprehension. But perhaps we can explain it and bring it down to our terms. And it should be appropriate for the idea of continuously, non-stop, doing, climbing, ascending the ladder. When a guy decides to be misgayer and he converts to Judaism, who nichnas tachas kanfei shechina, he makes a tremendous move, a very heavy transition, transformation, and he accepts the mitzvahs, all 613, at the time of his conversion. A Jew is meant to consider himself, even though he was born to the chosen people, but on a daily basis, every morning, to feel as if he's making that same move, that same radical transformation, to separate himself from the goyim as a non-Jew converts to Judaism. His behavior pattern during the course of the day is going to be reflective of the fact that he's a Jew and not a goy. He's not going to rely on what he did yesterday. On this new day, as it emerges, he has a new bracha, not yesterday's bracha. This is what we call in the Lashon Chazal b'chol yom, yu beinecha kechadoshim. A new, brand new Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. In this blessing, in this bracha, he declares he is a Jew anew, with a new zest and energy and inspiration to accept upon himself that he doesn't want to be a guy, he wants to be a Jew. His entire day will be a behavior that exemplifies and exhibits his Jewishness. And this is what Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon used to say, that on a daily basis a person does tshuva on yesterday. Perhaps he didn't exploit all the possibilities and reach his goal of taking advantage of all the opportunities that every day presents itself in Ruchnius. And if you take a look at the Kohen Gadol, he has a mitzvah on a daily basis to bring what's called the Minchas Chavitim. He brings half of the Minchas Chavitim in the morning and another half in the afternoon. And this is a Korban Mincha that really parallels the Mincha of a Kohen Hedjot. But the Mincha of a Kohen Hedjot is brought once in his lifetime, when he begins his avoda, on the very first occasion. He brings what's called a Minchas Chinuch, and that symbolizes the radical change, that this transformation, that until now he's a Kohen, but he hasn't yet served the Avoda. Now he so that's the Minchas Chinuch that's brought once in a lifetime by a Kohen Hedger. But in the case of a Kohen Gadol, a person who reaches the absolute summit, the pinnacle on a spiritual level, he's got to be Gadol Me'echav. He's greater than his brethren in, amongst the Kohuna, in number one, Chachma, in wisdom, number two, in Yira, and in every single attribute. Chazal say that if a Kohen Gadol, who is not worthy to be a Kohen Gadol, was appointed as such, he will not live out the year of his Kohuna Gadola. He'll be able to enter in Lifnai V'Lifnim in the Kodesh Kadoshim Yom Kippur, but he won't live out that year. And that's why Chazal tell us that historically during the period of Bayis Sheni, there were so many Kohanim Gedolim who were not suitable for that great responsibility, that they died within the year. Now, such a person who is born into a Shevet of this great level of sanctity, Shevet Kohuna, and imagine, he ascended the spiritual mountain, he got to the highest pinnacle in which he was Gadol Me'echav, he was greater in Torah and Yira and Midos, he was that much superior to all his brethren of Kohuna, of the Kohanim Hejotim. And such a person could really feel like he climbed Mount Everest, he reached the pinnacle, he is the greatest in his generation in spirituality, comes along the Torah and says, wait a minute, no, it's not enough that you bring a Minchas Chinuch, but rather once in a lifetime. You have to bring a Minchas Chavitim on a daily basis, so that every day you realize the challenge of the day. It's a new day. You begin your avod as if it were the first time around. Don't think that you've conquered all these pinnacles, all these summits, and that's where you can stop and take a deep breath and say, wow, look what I've achieved, now I can take life easy. Oh no, you've got to work and work on a daily basis, every single day. Bring that special carbon as if it was the day in which you made this transformation, the day in which you were appointed for the first time as the Kohen Gadol. Every day is a new beginning. My father, Zichron Levracha, wrote a book called Good Beginnings. And the first drasha that he has in that sefer is about the fact that many people begin on the right foot, but they cannot maintain that level of achievement, and so they fall back. With regard to Talmidim Chachamim, the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan Chavtes, Ein lehem menucha lo bal mazel ol maba. You know, when Bikesh Yaakov Leshe B'shalva, no. The Pasuk says, Yelchu Michael El Chayel. And that's the responsibility, not just of the Kohen Gadol, not just of a Talmud Chacham Ein lo menucha, but of every single person, in every dimension of Ruchnius, in Bein Adam L'Makom, in Bein Adam L'Chavero, to constantly be working to achieve a higher and higher level, not to sit back on his laurels and say, well, look what I've achieved, and everything's going to be fine, I'm guaranteed that position, you know, that notch, you know, that niche that I've created for myself, in marriage, in parenting, constant growth, constantly striving every day to do better and better. I'll give you an example from the Zohar. The Zohar says that every single Shabbos, a person gets a hischadshus, a brand new power, an energy force in spirituality from the Shabbos, as if it was the first Shabbos of his life. That's the neshama yisayu that we get. Shabbos propels us with a certain power of spiritual energy for the week to come. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in such a way that there will be a hischazkus on a weekly basis, as if once a week he gets this level of Shabbos that is going to renew his energy. The entire creation that God created gets a certain renewal for the entire week to come. That's what Shabbos has. It has the power to project us on a spiritual level for the week to come, if only we take advantage of the opportunity of the spiritual energy of Shabbos. This is an idea that really reflects itself on the entire creation. There's a whole new bria on every Shabbos, but specifically when it comes to our spiritual lifetime, there's a hischadshus. It's not that God created us once, God created the world once, and then it's going to propel itself and continue to exist. No, there's got to be a hischadshus in the bria on a weekly basis, and this is meant to teach us that a person shouldn't think that I've reached a certain level, a certain, you know, I've carved myself out a certain niche, and that's where I want to stop. No, he's constantly being called upon continuously to be mischadesh and a new bracious every day, every week. And now we see this in Talmud Torah. The Chazal tell us on the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ilule Barasi Yomam Valaila Chukos Shamayim V'Arts Lo Samti, as a reference, Brisi, Ilule Brisi, the Bris is the Bris of Limud Torah. If not for Limud Torah on a constant basis, daily, there would be no ability for the world to continue to exist. Ein Zchut Kiyum Lola, as the Gemara points out in Pesachim Taf Samaches. And the Medrash tells us, in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Ein Kol Yom V'Yom Shein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh Halacha B'Bezdin Shalmala. On a daily basis, there are new halachas that are being taught. My taima, and the Gemara quotes the Medrash quotes a pasuk in Eov, Shimu Shamoa Beroges Kolo V'Hage Mipiv Yotza V'Hege Mipiv Yotza V'Ein Hege El Torah. What it means is that Torah is not like other disciplines, other branches of human knowledge. Torah is something that's alive. It develops. It has a certain period of arrivia element, so to speak. It's different. And that's what the Medrash means in the Tanchuma, on the Pasuk in Kohelis, Kemasmeros Netuim, Ma Masmer Zekavu, Afdivrei Torah Kvuim, Maneti Asin Parah V'Rava, Afdivrei Torah Parin V'Ravin. There's a certain expansion of Torah. Limtzo Lehem Tam. HaKadosh Baruch is Mechadesh on a daily basis, a new halacha. He gives to his people a power of chidush, of hischadshus in Divrei Torah. In Torah, we see again the same mahalach of machshava that we mentioned before, the same approach. There's no standing in one place. There's no static or stagnation. A person has to be Mechadesh on a daily basis in Torah, not stop. Never remove, you know, never lift up his hands. It's not a limud of a certain body of material, of knowledge, that's limited within a framework, a unit of knowledge. No. We finish one mesech, we go on immediately to the next mesech. That's what we do at Asiyum. When we finish the Torah, on Simchas Torah, we begin immediately to start Bracious, another round. When we finish reading the Torah, we have to start anew, because not just Shas, but Torah, everything in Limud Torah requires is conscious. Propel yourself forward. Don't be satisfied where you achieve at the point to which you achieved. And therefore, when the Medrash points out, "Valuchos Maiselo Kimema," Omar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, "Bechol Yom V'Yom Basko Yotzes Mehar Chorev V'Omeres Oylem Librios Mel Bonishal Torah." And why is that? "Shekol Mishena Osek Tadir B'Torah Harezen Nazuf." Why does the Baskol, this heavenly voice, declare on a daily basis, Mehar Chorev? There's a message here. This Baskol is coming to awaken us to understand about every single person who observes the Torah and its mitzvahs in a proper way, that in every day, daily basis, he has to compare himself to yesterday, and he has to realize that perhaps it's time to do tshuva. Maybe yesterday he didn't exploit, he didn't achieve all the opportunities that came his way. He didn't succeed as much as he could have. And now it's a new day. Every day is a new day. And begin to climb the ladder. Achieve greater summits in spirituality and dedication to the mitzvahs. This is the baskel that goes out from Har Chorev on a daily basis. Har Chorev is the mountain in which the Torah was given. And this is a symbol for us to be mischadish, to project ourselves, to have aspirations, to want to grow and ascend on a daily basis. A person could hear, if he has the sensitive soul, the baskal that comes out on a daily basis, telling him to do tshuva, telling him to be constantly involved in Torah and in mitzvahs, and working on his midah. So a person works on his midah of kas, and it's tremendous amount of work that he shouldn't get angry. And years of work, and an occasion arises, and Baruch Hashem, miraculously, he's able to reach into the koichos, his spiritual koichos, and overcome his kas, his mid of kas. And at that point, he gives himself a pat on the back, and he says, "I'm okay now." Oh, no. Don't fool yourself. There'll be challenges along the road. Keep going continuously. A person, as he gets older, he thinks he's overcome the Yetzer Hara. And he no longer has the temptations, the desires that he had as a young person. But don't believe in yourself. If in the case of a man, if a woman goes by and she's not, he's going to have a Yetzer Hara. In Lashon Hara, a person can work his entire lifetime on overcoming the Yetzer Hara, and he reaches at a certain pinnacle. But nevertheless, tomorrow will be challenged again. They say about the Chofetz Chaim, he was battling against the forces of evil even as an old man. When he tried to get up in the morning in a cold winter in Raden, and it was so comfortable under the blankets, and he yelled out, they say, against the Yetzer Hara, the Satan, you're trying to get a hold of me. No. The Gemara Brachas tells us on Daf Chof Tes that Yochanan, Kohen Gadol, was Meshamesh as a Kohen Gadol 80 years. Until at the end of his life, he became a tzduki, Rachmana Litzlan. It just shakes us up. I mean, it's shudder. Now imagine, a Kohen Gadol has reached such a level in order to get appointed as such that he doesn't even have Hirhuri Avera. He doesn't even think bad thoughts. He's on such a high level. If he had the wrong thoughts, he wouldn't even last a full year. He would die within that year. So Yochanan Kohen Gadol served for 80 years as the highest priest. In other words, he was on this highest level of a tzaddik that even a machshava ra, even a hira ra, didn't pass his mind, didn't cross his mind. Otherwise, he wouldn't have survived it. Now, keep in mind, the avoda doesn't begin until he's 20. So we're talking about a person who's very old. He's above 100 years old, has dedicated his entire life to sanctity, to purity on the highest level. And yet, after all this very rich spirituality, he reaches a nefila. He falls to the point in which he becomes an apikoris. He deviates from the path of Torah. And that's it. It's all worthless, his whole life. Now, there's a sefer called Seder Adoros. And it says that what happened to Yochanan, this person, this Kohen Gadol, he somehow ate something that was questionable. The kashrus of the food was questionable. Now imagine, the source, according to this statement in the Seder Adoros, of Yochanan's nefila, this Kohen Gadol, was the fact that he ate something questionable. What does that mean? Perhaps if we take that together with the Mishnah in Avos, Al Tamin Biatzmacho, and then what Chazal is trying to tell us, he believed in himself. At some point, he was very calm and secure about himself. He was laid back. He patted himself on the back after all the great achievements of 80 years as serving as the highest priest. He was successful. And therefore, when it came to some foodstuff, he was makil a little bit. You know, he was kind of laid back about it. They brought him something to eat. And we know that non-kosher food somehow penetrates into the heart. It's metamte misalev. And the impact on his soul, Yochanan, of this machol sasuris, of metamte misalev, was so powerful that at the end of the day, he came to kfira. And this tells us how serious of an issue this al tamen biatzmacha is. You know, the question and the answer of Yisro from Kriyas Yamsuf to Milchemes HaMolek, from that high, lofty spot down to the lowest. And that's what we need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to be dedicated to Torah and to progress in Torah on a regular basis, Tamid, B'chol Yom Tamid, like the carbon Tamid. And if we achieve greater and greater levels in Torah, in Mitzvahs, in Yerushalayim, in Beinon L'Chavero, in Midos, without any sort of interruption, then for sure We're going to avoid that sense of security of patting ourselves on the back, and then we'll be mekayim this dictum of al tamim bi'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Now, once we're on this topic, let's take it even a step further. In the parsha of Matan Torah, we find that in the psukim before Matan Torah, and even again after Matan Torah, the emphasis of our Torah is on Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hine Anochi, Boy Lecha Ba'av Ha'anan, Bavur Yishma Ha'om, Bidvarei, Bidabri Imach, Vegam B'chayaminu Li Olam. The emphasis on number one, that God is giving the Torah to Am Yisrael. That's, of course, the most fundamental theme. And there's another theme here, Gam B'chayaminu Li Olam, a belief in the Manhigi Ador. But what I'd like to discuss with you is, in the light of what we discussed before about Al Tam and Biatzmacha, the relationship within the context and the framework of the relationship between a manig of the Dor and the Dor itself, because when we talk about Moshe Rabbeinu, we're really talking about the leaders of Klal Yisrael in any generation. The famous phrase that's quoted in the name of the Zohar of Ispashtusa de Moshe b'chol dar v'dar, that every dar has its manhig, and that's how the generations come, and they all get their power, in a sense, their root is in Moshe Rabbeinu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu that, in addition to Maimed Har Sinai, there's another tachlis here, and the goal is v'ubecha yaminu li'olam. And you know, Hashem says to Moshe, raid ha'ed ba'am pen yaharsu, please warn the people that they shouldn't climb the mountain. Liros v'nofel menu rav gam ha'konim anigoshim al Hashem yiskadshu pen yifrotz behem Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as recorded here in the Torah, Lo yuchal ha'om lalo salahar. God, so to speak, what are you worried about? You know, we've already warned the people, the Hagbola, they shouldn't go up to the mountain. And yet, Hashem says to Moshe, lech reid, and go ahead and warn the people. And it seems on a simple level that there's a little bit of almost a dialogue, a controversy, a friction here between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. If you take a look, for example, in Pasuk Yud Ches over here, it says, we're in Perek Yud Ches, right before Matan Torah, in Pasuk Yud Ches it says that the Torah already describes Matan Torah as Har Sinai Oshon Kulo Mipnei Asher Yored Olav Hashem B'esh Vayal Ashanu Ke'oshan Akivshan Vayachrad Kol Ahar Mi'od Vayhi Kol Hashofar Holech V'chazak Mi'od Moshe Yidav V'kimel Yanenu B'kol. There's a very profound and dramatic experience here at Matan Torah. Things are already on the way, and we would have thought that the next pasuk would be Vaydaber Hashem Elokim Eskol V'armelu Lemar Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, but the Aseret HaDibros. I mean, we've already described this beautiful, powerful vision of an awesome high level on the Har. There's the Kolos, there's the Oshan. You know, everything is ready now. The stage is set for the Aseret HaDibros. And instead, we have these psukim that come wedged in between and tell us about this dialogue, so to speak, between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying to Moshe, you know, go down and warn the people again not to climb the mountain. Moshe doesn't begin to understand why it's necessary to warn them a second time. And the truth is, Hashem doesn't give him a clear-cut explanation as to why there's a necessity for a second warning of the people. He just mandates, he commands Moshe Rabbeinu to go down and to warn the people a second time. Moshe Rabbeinu has already spoken to the people at great length. Rashi points out, Lo yuchal ha'am, when Moshe says that they won't be able to climb up the mountain, Eni tzarech lahayid bahem. There's no need to warn them a second time around. Hari musrim v'omrim heim gimel yamim. It's already a three-day period that has passed, and they were warned. Lo yuchlu lalos she'en lem rishus.
So really, what's the inherent message here in HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying that there's a need for a second warning right before Matan Torah, and not to rely on the previous warning? After all, here they are in this maimad, this situation, this gadol v'neira, this unbelievable maimad here, and Hashem says, wait, let's take a break over here. We're going to delay the process, and we have to go down. Moshe Rabbeinu have to go down and warn the people a second time. What's that all about? And after Matan Torah again, the Torah describes the second time around the kolos, the lapidim, the kol shofar, the har ha'ashan, the whole cloud, you know, the whole mountain is surrounded by smoke, and immediately afterwards, Mizbach Adoma Tasali Vilotala Bimalos Al Mizbachi Ashalotagala Ervoscha Alecha. And we would like to understand, you know, what is it that right after the Matan Torah, immediately we have this whole sivui of Lotala Bimalos Al Mizbachi, which sounds very similar to what we saw before about not climbing the mountain, where there was not just one warning to Bnei Yisrael, but even a second warning. Now, let's understand this within the larger, the broader context of Gam B'chaya Aminu Li'olam, the double purpose here, not just Matan Torah, but the belief in Moshe Rabbeinu. If we want to understand the connection between these different parts of Matan Torah, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu see it as absolutely necessary to tell Moshe a second time around Lech Raid and warn the people? And the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu reached this very, very high level in his comprehension, in his hasaga elokit, what we call a divine comprehension. The Torah itself is going to testify about Moshe Rabbeinu lo kam navi od b'Yisrael k'moshe. When it comes to any sort of mandate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu to do something or to avoid something, not to do something, it already becomes so powerful for Moshe Rabbeinu that there's no possibility that he, Moshe Rabbeinu, will not fulfill and observe the will of God and be mekayim dvar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Lo yuchal ha'am." What does it mean, "Lo yuchal ha'am"? They won't. What do you mean? They don't have the physical capacity. You know, the mitzvah, the reality of possibly climbing up the mountain and violating the tzivui. But the answer is, once Hashem gave that tzivui not to go up, then from Moshe Rabbeinu's perspective, that becomes a mitzvah. That becomes a reality. There's no possibility of violating the word of God. The Torah says, "Lo suchal lecho b'sharecha," and the Sifri says, "Yochal atah, aval eincha rashai." That when it says "Lo suchal lecho," you won't be able to eat. We're talking about something like Maaser Sheni, where you're not allowed to eat it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. And the Torah says, not that you're not allowed to eat it, but that you won't be able to eat it. And the Sifri says that this pasuk is formulated for the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu, that Moshe Rabbeinu, on his high spiritual level, for him, a mandate from Hashem is a reality. There's no way that it's even possible that Moshe Rabbeinu would violate the word of God. But now HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling the people that he's telling Moshe Rabbeinu, they have the choice, and they, Chalila, could violate the will of God. You know, you, Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't have to be misgaber, you know, to garnish and energize yourself to overcome the temptation and choose good. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lech Red, you know, come down, Moshe Rabbeinu, from your high level. You have to look at the people from their level in a reality check, not to gauge things from the way you see reality, from your spiritual high level. The people, the nation, they're not on that level. They're not so high up. And therefore, even though you've already passed on the mandate to them not to go up, but you know what? There'll be people there'll be at least some members of the community, if not many, that still need chizuk. You know, they still need encouragement. And therefore, give them a second round. Rashi quotes in the Chilta, Lech Reid, Veheyed Bohem Shenis, Shemizarzim, Es ha'adam kodem ma'isa v'chosim mezarzen el sobashas ma'isa. You can give a person a chizuk, you know, give him a zirus and try to inspire him before, but that's not enough. At the shas ma'isa, you need another round of zirus to inspire the person. And that's what a leader in Israel has to do. He's got to come down from his high level down to the lower level of the people. He has to look at everything in life from the perspective of the people. How are they challenged? If he's a manik that's up there on the Pisgah, on the high summit, and he doesn't realize, and he doesn't understand and penetrate into the to the nefesh, the soul of the people, he'll never succeed in leading them, in guiding them from up on high. Maimed Har Sinai says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, first you have to say Gam Bechaya Aminu Liolam, you have to know Moshe Rabbeinu, that now Lech Reid, understand who the people are, what their level is, understand their limitations and their deficiencies, their potential. And then, and only then, can you serve as a manhig, as a leader. You have to somehow, in a sense, cut yourself off, distance yourself from your high level, your personal high level, in order to recognize and appreciate the level, the situation in which the people find themselves. This is so frequent, that you have a leader who's up there, like Moshe Rabbeinu on the Pisgah, but yet the people are on a much lower level. We have to bridge that gap. They have to be together as one. They have to be on the same plane. They have to at least begin from the same point of departure. And then climb together slowly with patience and with an absolute commitment. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach Moshe 1 minute before Maimed Har Sinai. And we have the famous Medrash that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the nations of the world and asked each one of them to accept the Torah, and each one of them responded respectively, what's in the Torah? And they refused to accept the Torah. The Mechilta says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went around to all the nations, was toveah them, and the reason for that is that they shouldn't have some piskon pel later on in history. They're going to say, well, you know, why wasn't the Torah given, since the Torah wasn't given to us, that's why we didn't live on that level. No. Hashem mi Sinai ba means that he went to each nation. Are you willing to accept the Torah? So they said, let's say Esau, for example, what does it say in the Torah? Lo tirtzach. No. That we can't accept. Yerusha shorisha avosenu avinu shenemar al charbucha tichye. We can't observe this law of lo tirtzach. He comes to the Bnei Amon and Moav. What's in the Torah, they ask. And Hashem responds, lo tinof, you know, the immorality in the sexual area. So they say, no, we can't accept that. Mi niuf, we came from niuf. Vatarena shtei benos lot me'aviem, how can we accept the Torah? Then he appears to Yishmael, and they say, well, what's in the Torah? Lo signof, we can't steal. But what was the bracha that our father gave us? Vehu yeh pera adam, and when it comes to taking Yosef down, the Yishmaelim say ki ganov, that they steal Yosef. Yosef says ganov gunavti, and finally HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Klal Yisrael. Mimino eish das lamo pasku piem v'omru kol asher dibur Hashem nasev v'nishma. And the Mefarshim ask on this Medrash, why is it that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, gives a sample to each one of the nations respectively, and when it comes to Israel, it doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tried to test them and say, well, you know, would you like, you know, would you like a sample of a particular mitzvah? And some want to offer the answer that there's a fundamental difference between Klal Yisrael and the other nations. Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah without any chakirs and drishas. They didn't want to know what's the nature of the Torah. But here I want to share with you an insight of the Maharal Prague, something Peledic. He says that, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Am Yisrael the Torah and there is no sampling? The answer is, there is one sampling. There is one test. And that is Hagbelas Ha'am V'Kidashto, the Tzivui, the command to Klal Yisrael, to sanctify themselves and at the same time, the prohibition against climbing the mountain. This was the challenge to Klal Yisrael. Would they listen and observe the Kol Hashem, the word of God? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with regard to every single nation, chooses to test them with the most difficult mitzvah in the Torah. When it's in the case of Esav, it's Ritzicha. In the case of Yishmael, it's Gezel. In the case of Amon Moav, it's Niuf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses what is the most difficult challenge for Klal Yisrael. It's the Hagbalah, not to go up the mountain. That's the Nisoyan of Am Yisrael. Why? Because Am Yisrael was, by their very nature, created with the Hislavas, the Kedusha, with the intense desire to go higher and higher, to cling to Hashem, as we said before, Al Tam V'Yatzvah, always moving up the ladder. Amzu Yitzarti Li, Tilosi Yisaperi, Shayanovi says. The essence of Klal Yisrael is She'ifa, is the aspiration to become one with Hashem. That clinging, that is achdus, that's what we find by Nadav Aviv. Why were they so mislaiv? What was all the enthusiasm about? The sanctity of Nadav Aviv, they wanted to climb even higher and higher, to be Makhtir Ketoris Lifnei Hashem, they brought an Eish Zora. That's the most difficult challenge for Klal Yisrael. It's antithetical to their very essence. This idea of Hashem on the one hand revealing Himself at Mamre Har Sinai, and on the other hand, that chukka, that intense desire of the people to get closer, tell them, no, stay in your place, don't go up the mountain. That's a great challenge to Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recognizes the Nefesh HaAdam. He understands and that a person has a level of Islavos. And Hashem understands that level of Islavos, perhaps not even slowly, but quickly goes down. You know, the fire dies down very fast. And a Jew cannot reach this high level in spirituality and maintain that level for a long time. They're going to be nefilos. They're going to be ups and downs. This is called in Hasidus, mochus, mochin de katnus. There are moments in which a person is challenged. He suffers a certain crisis emotionally. And therefore it's so important for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before Matan Torah, lahagbil asam, to limit the people, so that they understand their place. They can't go up the mountain. Yes, they have certain achievements and certain levels and pinnacles that they climb. But you know what? It's not going to happen in one leap. You know, you can't just run up the mountain. There's a slow process, step by step. They have to be very careful as they climb and ascend the ladder of Torah and Yira. We know, for example, that Chazal tell us that Klal Yisrael reached this low level of Memtesh Shari Tuma in Mitzrayim, and the Sar of Mitzrayim at the point of Kriyas Yamsuf came to be Makatrig up on top and said, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah, Halolu Ovdei Avodah Zarah. You know, why are the Jews any better than we are? They reached that such low level of Memtesh Shari Tuma, V'at Arom V'Eria. They were Arum in a mitzvahs. They were on the lowest level. And there's no question that the redemption from Egypt was not a result of any merit of theirs, you know, based on their achievement. It was all based on their potential that was hidden within them. And sure enough, at almost instantaneously, they reached this highest level at Kriyas Yamsuf of Ras HaShivchal Yam. This was a very fast climb up to a high level. And yet, it doesn't really bear that much fruit, because immediately after Kriyas Yamsuf, what does it say? Vayasa Moshe es Yisrael miYamsuf. Rashi says in the name of the Mechilta, he see on Bal Karchan. They didn't want to move on. Moshe Rabbeinu had to force them, compel them. Why? Because they were too busy after Kriyas Yamsuf with Ituro, with Suseim, Tachshitei Zav, Kesef, with all the booty, all the great things, the riches, the wealth, the silver, the gold. They were finding them on the Yamsuf, and they the Chazal say, Gedola Bizas Hayam, Mi Bizas Mitzrayim, whatever they took out of Mitzrayim, this was so much, so much greater, the Biza of Yamsuf. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch had to be Masiyam Bal Karcham immediately after this great revelation, that high pinnacle, lofty level that they achieved at Kriyas Yamsuf, and immediately they're shkuim, they are down, 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 totally dedicated and single-mindedly concerned with Bizus Hayam, with physicality, with materiality. It's unbelievable. They weren't poor at that time. Everyone had enough from Bizus Mitzrayim, but nevertheless they wanted the Bizus Yamsuf. They weren't able, that's the bottom line, to maintain that high level that they achieved with the Kolos Ubrakim and all the dramatic impact of Kriyas Yamsuf and finally Matan Torah. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to tell Bnei Yisrael, you know what? Stay in your place. Don't climb the mountain. What does it mean is that you're going to achieve a greatest galus. It's going to be an unbelievable, awesome revelation of Hashem. You've undergone a very radical, quick change and a transformation and a climbing of spiritual nature. But you know what? You have to have a strong, solid foundation. And that's what Hagbola is all about. Hagbola means overcome, discipline yourself, work on the Madrega that you've achieved. Herein lies the essential dialogue, or perhaps controversy, if you will, between Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu is on his high level, and he relates to Klal Yisrael as if they're on his level. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, Moshe, Lech Reid, you're making a mistake. The nation is not on that level. They're on a much lower level than you think they are. You haven't really understood and evaluated them properly and meticulously. You have to understand that at a certain point, come to their level. Come off of your high horse down to the level, to their what we call darga Nemucha, and understand that from that perspective you have to be magbil esam. In other words, make sure that they don't do what they had done 7 weeks earlier or 6 weeks earlier at Kriyas Yamsuf, where they remained in their place and they didn't want to leave Kriyas Yamsuf. They were too busy with dedicating themselves to the material wealth of Bizas Hayam. And the answer is that Hagbel Sa'am, understand, tell the people to understand and appreciate that they have to stay in their place. That's the place from which they're going to be Makabel Torah, without any jumps, without any fast skippings, not like the fire that goes up and then immediately goes down. They've got to create a basis, a basis. And this is what the Maharal wants to convey to us. And perhaps we can prove this from the Gemara in Titus about Yoshio HaMelech, that he mistakenly thought that the people of Israel were on a very high level, and he made a mistake. He really didn't evaluate the level of the people. In truth, they were still clinging to and hiding Avodah Zarah. Great as Yoshio was, and he was meant to be Mashiach, but nevertheless he failed to gauge the level of the people. And lo hikir et matzavo shel ha'am. And as a result, he didn't clinch that havtoch of Hashem of cherev lo yavo bi'artzechem with regard to Mitzrayim and Paro over there at that time. In other words, the manig is called upon to understand where the people are holding, to evaluate them properly. It's not enough that he personally reaches such a high level. That's not enough. He's got to understand and appreciate the level of the people. And that's why we understand that immediately after Matan Torah, with all the Rash Gadol and the black fire on the white fire and everything that took place over there, it's just unbelievable at the luchos, the miracles upon miracles, the shofar that they could hear what was seen and see what's normally heard, and all this, everything is miraculous, everything is supernatural. They get two ksarim, they get one keser keneged nasa and one keneged nishma, and you would think that they reach this highest level at Maimon Har Sinai, then there's no longer any sort of danger of falling. But the answer is no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds this tzav, this mandate, first right before Matan Torah, right after Matan Torah, of lo salu b'malos al mizbechi, even after you've reached that hisalus, that tremendous level, you know what? That hislavus, which is in one moment, is, you know, it's too quick. It's not well thought out. It's not well based. It's not intellectual. It's emotional. That's not going to clinch it for you. The reality is that, you know, that darga gvoh is not a true barometer of the level you're really at. And therefore, be careful of all this kedusha, you know, and helikite and this eish that all of a sudden you jumped into this inspirational, emotional high. There are no shortcuts here. There's no kfitzot. There are no jumpings. You know, you've got to constantly be involved in omel. You have to invest. You have to have a slow, gradual spiritual process of ascending the mountain of Hashem. You have to always be facing the Yetzer Hara and trying to overcome it, one successful battle after another, slowly but surely, piece it all together, al tamen bi'atzmecha, go higher and higher, receive Ruach HaKodesh as you go higher and higher. Every single step, every single challenge of Avodas Hashem. And the manig, the leaders, have to understand this. They may be on the highest level. They have to come down and relate to the level of the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the kochos ha-nefesh to be full of this kind of constant awareness and constant energizing ourselves. And we should be zoche to climb maila maila in Avodas Hashem. And we should be zoche to a great deal of reward of Hashem, of schar, of dveikus and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kei yi ratzon. Amen.